Today's daf is Erechin daf Chof Gimel, and we are about 15 lines from the bottom of daf Chof Beis Amid Beis, the second to last narrow line, Rava Omar. Today's daf is being learnt as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo Ben Sara Aliza. So the topic of yesterday's daf was again a digression from the core sugyas of Masechtas Erechin, and the Gemara discussed the halachos of Yesoimim Kitanim, that inherited an estate from their deceased father, but the estate had liabilities as well. Now, midei raisa, if somebody yarshins his father's estate, he yarshins the assets and the contingent liabilities that come along with those assets. And not all liabilities are inherited, but the ones that are associated with the assets. So a mortgage on a property, for example, is something that, of course, the yarshim are going to assume. The yarshim can't say, we'll assume the property, but we're not going to assume the mortgage. Of course, the two come together. Kitanim have dinei yerusha midei raisa. Even though a katan can't be zoicha midei raisa, midei rabbanon, there's a concept of pu'utois, mekcha mekcha, chumem kara memkar, dasacheres matna, the famous shitas atoisvis in shas, where a katan can be zoicha midei raisa with dasacheres. But we're dealing with yerusha. Yerusha, there's no question, the ketanim are zoicha midei raisa. So the ketanim yashu, the father's estate midei raisa, they have an obligation now to pay the liability. Stating that, the chachamim said, it's not so simple. That if a bal chayv wants to now go to the yisayim ketanim and say, you know, your father owed me money, I want you to pay the chayv. The halacha is that we don't allow the bal chayv to go ahead and collect unless it can check off certain boxes. So there are some exceptions to the rule, but for the most part, the halacha is that we do not allow the bachayv to collect from the assignment. What's the bachayv supposed to do? Wait till the assignment become bar mitzvah. Once they'll be gedolim, at that point, you'll be allowed to collect. And there were really two parts to yesterday's sugya. The first part, or really the second part, it was somewhat out of order, was why? Why is it that it's not okay for a bachayv to collect from the assignment? If the assignment yashim edei raisa, they have an obligation to pay these liabilities, you would assume the bachayv has some sort of lien on the liability, on the assets. If that's the case, why is it that the assignment ketanim don't have an obligation? The other part of the sugyu was, when is it that we say that there's an exception to the rule? When is it that we say that although the yisayimim ketanim, and although ordinarily you're not allowed to collect for yisayimim ketanim, but if it meets these criteria, you can. So first, the why. The Gemara gave two reasons. Rav Papa said, because the whole obligation for a person to pay a chayv is a mitzvah. Shibud alav deraisa, that if somebody borrows money from somebody else, he has an obligation to pay simply because it's one of the mitzvahs aseh. And being that prius balchayv mitzvah, and ketanim alav mevin mitzvah ninu, you can't force a katan to go ahead and do a mitzvah that he's not obligated to do. If there was a shibud, then obviously the nechasim would be meshubat to the balchayv, so it wouldn't matter that the ketanim are not bnei mitzvah. But a papa holds shibud alav dei raisa. So really, midei raisa, all there is a mitzvah. Just like a katan doesn't have a mitzvah to take dalad minim on sukkis, he doesn't have a mitzvah to eat matzah on Pesach, he doesn't have a mitzvah to pay his father's chayv. Rafuna Breid Rav Yeshua said no, shibud is dei raisa. This has nothing to do with mitzvahs. This has nothing to do with bar mitzvah. But rather, the reason is because we're concerned that maybe the father was tzrari atvasa. Maybe he really gave money to the balchayv. We're just not aware of it. Whatever the circumstances might have been, the point is that maybe he really paid. And although ordinarily we're not concerned, sorry, atvasa, mishum takonas, hayisoyim ktanim, we're going to think the unthinkable. We're going to be concerned that maybe, yeah, it's sorry, atvasa. And it's for that reason, the halach is yisoyim ktanim, even though they write it, they should be obligated to pay, they won't be obligated to pay. When is it that we say, the second part of this, when is it that we say that even though the Yisayim Tanim, still they should pay the balchayv? So the Gemara, really what emerged from the sugya, was there a few examples of that. Number one, kishachayv moida. If the father before he died said clearly on his deathbed that mishpacha, I want you to know, I have chayvus, I hid it from you, but I have chayvus, and you're going to have to pay the chayvus. So if the chayv was moida before he died, b'kahai gavna, there will be an obligation even for the yisayim ketanim to pay. But the Gemara clearly said that really that's only true according to Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua, who holds that really ketanim should be obligated to pay their father's chayv, because shibud dei raisa, it's a mitzrari atvasa. If chayv moida, then there is no concern of tzrari atvasa. Where's Rav? According to Rapapa, who says that the reason the ketanim don't pay is because they're labnei mevid mitzvah, it doesn't matter if the chayev was moida. But that's the first example. According to Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua, kishachayev moida. The second example was if this loan that's outstanding has interest attached to it, and it's ribbis eichelos v'hem, the ribbis is eating out of the estate of the yisoyimim. So to just stop these interest payments, it will behoove Beis Din to go and just pay off the loans like this. We won't eat out of the Yeseder Dikta'ana. When they get older, there'll be something left. Because otherwise, the Ribbis is just eating out. The third exception to the rule that the Gemara mentioned was Rabbi Yechanan Shita, and that was Ksubas Isha, whether the reason is because the mezoinos that the woman is going to get until the Ksubas paid off is going to eat out of the estate of the Yisoyman, or Mishum China, another reason that the Gemara gave, regardless. So we had two reasons why we ordinarily don't take payment from the Yisoyman Ketanim, either Prius Lachayv Mitzvah or Eimitzvari Atfasa, and then we had several exceptions to the rule. When is it that we do take payment? Either way, the Gemara is going to begin with a third reason why ordinarily we do not go and collect money from the assignment. Rava, my Rava said, it's not because Prius Bachayv Mitzvah, it's not because of what Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua said, Eimetzari Atvasa, but rather the reason is Mishum Shoiver, because we're concerned that maybe the father really paid. If the father paid, why is the Bachayv walking around with a Shtar Chayv, right? What's the first thing you do if you pay off a loan? Give me the Shtar back. Maybe the person, the Bachayv, didn't have the shtar. And instead of giving him the shtar back, what he instead did was he wrote a shayver, a receipt. And that receipt is out there somewhere. The Yisoyimim are not aware of it. But being that the Malva is still walking around with the shtar chayv, so these vulnerable Yisoyimim, they have no clue. So he's going to go ahead and he's going to take money from the Yisoyimim. So even though ordinarily we wouldn't be concerned, maybe for shayver, as we'll see in a moment, but over here, Mishum Yisoyimim Ketan, and Rav said, we're concerned Mishum Yisoyimim. The Rav is Rav Huna, Rav Yeshua, who gave a different reason. Right? Just pay attention to the names. Who gave a different reason for why it is that we ordinarily don't collect from the assignments. Because of Eimet Sori Atfas. He told Rava, Rava, I don't agree with your reason. Because of Michai Shina L'Shoever, is this something we're concerned with? By the time we learned in the Mishnah, Hanifrash, Shalei Bifanov. What happens if a woman gets divorced? I may be getting them Dina Sayom. The first Mishnah Masech is getting. The man is here, the woman is there, and now she just got divorced. So what's the halacha? Grusha is entitled to ksuba. Now money gets ksuba and a grusha gets ksuba. But she's not together with her husband. So she's going to go now to Beis Din. She heard that her husband has assets in this medina that she's in. She goes to the local court. She says, here's my shtar. The shliach said, b'fanai nechta, b'fanai nechta. She's 100% legitimately divorced. I want to collect my ksuba. So could she collect her ksuba when the husband's not around? So the halach is yeah. However, hanifrash alei b'fanav leiti parah al b'shvu. It's an example of where the Chachamim said that you have to make a shvu d'rabbanan. Rabbi Dei Reis is only three shvuas, but there's many, many, many shvuas d'rabbanan that the Chachamim were misakin. So this is another example of a shvu d'rabbanan. Hanifrash alei b'fanav, a woman who's collecting her ksuba when the husband's not around. V'amar rav achasar habiru ma'is b'lufnei rabbi nafkel antukia. V'amar and he said leishan ksuba z'yushal. The only time we allow this to happen, the only time we say that it's okay for a Baal Chayv, in this case the woman, to collect on an outstanding debt, it shaloi bifnei the person, is in a case of ksubas yisho, mishum chino. Because we want to incentivize women to want to get married. If it's going to be very difficult for them to collect their ksuba, so maybe they're not going to want to get married. Avo Baal Chayv, but an ordinary Baal Chayv lai. The halach is Baal Chayv can never collect money shaloi bifnei the person. Meaning the only time you're allowed to collect is if the person that you're collecting from is standing here. But a malva can't collect from a leiva shaloi bifnei the leiva. Rav Amar Rav Nachman, Rav argued. And he said, that even a Baal Chayv is allowed to collect shaloi bifnei. Meaning if a malva goes to bed and says, here's my shtar, the leiva is not here. Okay, so the leiva is not here. What's the difference? I have a shtar. So if I have a shtar, there's no reason I shouldn't be able to collect. So Rav said, yeah, there's a concept of getting paid for an outstanding loan, shaloi bifnei the loiv. You have to swear. Just like kind of frash shaloi bifanav with regards to ksuba leiti par ala b'shvo, the same is true when it comes to a Baal Chayv. What's the kasha? Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua told Rav of ichaishis l'shoiver. Now, if you're going to tell me there's a concern of shoiver, that's the whole reason you, Rav, are telling me. The halacha is that you're not allowed to ordinarily collect payment from Yisrael Niknayim, because we're concerned for Shavuot. So why are we concerned for the Shavuot? How could you collect in front of the Leiv when the Leiv is not there? Maybe if the Leiv would be there, he'd pull out a Shavuot. Right? What's the premise that you should be able to collect from a Leiv even if he's not there? I have a Shtar Chayv. So what's the Shaila? So if he was here, what could he do? He could say, Leihoyu Dvar Me'olam, I'm holding a Shtar. He could tell me that the Shtar is Mezuyev. I was Mekayim the Shtar. Right? You'll already do Kiyim Shtaris. What could the Leiv possibly argue that should say that I'm not allowed to collect shaloi b'fnei the loiva, says the Gemara. I'll tell you what he can argue. He could argue that I have a shaiver. He may pull out a shaiver. So what do you see from here? We're not concerned with shaiver. So Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua told Rav, Rav l'shitascha, that you're not concerned with shaiver. Why over here are you concerned with Shaivat? Gemara says, Amalei Hassam, so he could have answered, this is Yosayimim Ketanim. But that's not what Rav answered. He told him, Kedamrin, Taimish Shlei Kolecha, Noitam Ha'ez Shal Chaver, Vahilach V'yayish Shalei B'mdina Sayyam. Because otherwise, this would be a very basic move. What people would do is they would borrow money, and they would take the next flight, and you never hear from them again. And the person could have a Shtarchoiv, it could be Mekoyim, with a henpik, and Allah... But at the end of the day, if you can't collect, go find the guy. You're not going to be able to collect money. So to prevent that, over here we said a halacha that you can take money from the loiva, even shleibifnei the loiva, or be it with a shvua. What are you supposed to do? I mean, otherwise, this can get out of hand. So, Gemara, my Rav Hilchos. What's the bottom line with everything that we discuss? Ein neskakin lenichsei yisayim. Ordinarily, we do not collect payment from the nichsei yisayim. The im amar tnu niskakin, stating that if the father said before he died, I want you to give money to this bal chayiv, the halach is you give it. Sadazu umanazu niskakin. If he says give this field, or he says I want you to give this $100 bill to my bal chayiv, the halach is you listen. The im amid an apotropos, and you don't have to appoint an apotropos. So sometimes, in order to handle the dealings of the yisoyim ketan and bezin, would appoint an apotropos. So in these cases, you don't have to appoint an apotropos. Why? Because it's very straightforward. What do you need an apotropos for? To take this field and sign it over to this fellow? You could hire a local attorney. He'll take care of it for you. There's no reason to have an apotropos, this appointed person by Beis Din. It's not necessary. Sodder stam. What if the father says, no, I want you to give a sodder stam? It doesn't say sodder zu, umana stam. So now we're ready. Which field? So we want to make sure that Yisoyimim have somebody that's acting on their behalf to make sure that you don't give the best field. Meaning, if there's some ambiguity in terms of what the obligation is, then you want to have an apotropos to look out for the assignment. So you don't need an apotropos. You do need an apotropos. So if it was sodas nam umanas nam niskakin umamidin apotropos. I mean, nardoi bekulu niskakin umamidin apotropos. In all cases, we help the assignment. We pay off the loans of the assignment, and we appoint an apotropos. Meaning, in the aforementioned cases, levad minim tzasodas sheinu shalai. The only time we don't appoint an apotropos is if we find out that the assignment ketanim have a field that doesn't really belong to the father. Because if Edom say that this field doesn't belong to the Yisoyimim, even though the Yarshin did, it was never really the father's field, so in that case, we're going to take it away from them. We're not going to wait for an apotropos. The only reason to assume not to do that is because maybe the Edom are lying, but that's not something you ever assume. In that case, we won't look out, meaning that's something that we're going to take it. Rabbi said, so Rashi said, we don't, again, pay off the chayvis of the assignment. This is just like a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch recap of a lot of the things, and we're just chazering this over. Meaning, Rabbi just said that we don't pay off the chayvis of the assignment unless you have certain exceptions. So Rav Ashi said, if Rava said it, that has to be the halacha. So Hilchach is dakuke loy mizdak dekinan da amar Rava. Hilchach say in the skok. Right, it's interesting. If Rava already paskin that way, why does Rav Ashi have to paskin that way? Rav Ashi said that the halacha is that you don't just take payment from the assignment. You know why? Because Rava already said it. Okay. The im mizdak dekinan, in the event that we do have to pay, makminu napetropis. Why? Dami nardai. Because nardai said that. Kulun the skokin. Umamidu napetropis. So what's the bottom line? The bottom line is ordinarily we do not pay money from the estate of the assignment for Bali Chayvis, which is the Sugya. What would be the reason? So we have three reasons. Priest Bachay Mitzvah, Tzari Atvasa, Rava's Nupshad in today's daf, which is Mishum Shaiver. And in the event that you're ever going to pay, you're always going to have an apotropos. You don't say Chilukim, it depends if it was Sadazu or Sadaz. No, you're always going to have an apotropos. The only time there's no apotropos is if Edom say that, listen, this estate that the Yisoyimim Yarshin, there's real full fledged Geneva over here. There's a field there, there's Nechasim there that simply don't belong to this family. So in that case, we're not going to assume the Edom are liars. We don't need an apotropos for that. It's very straightforward. But other than that, we ordinarily don't take payment from them unless there's exceptions. When there's an exception, we use an apotropos. That's the end of the sugya. Just one thing, why was it so important for Rav and Rav Ashi here in the end of the Gemara to say that halacha is we don't just take payment from the Yisoyimim Ketanim? I mean, everybody seems to say, Rav Papa said it, Rav Yeshua said it, Rav said it. That's the whole sugya. The reason is because the Gemara in the bottom of Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph, I meant to speak this out in the intro, the Gemara said very clearly that Rav Nachman used to take money from the assignment because he heard that Rav Huna said, Yasmi da'achli da'loydidhu, leizlu basa shifkayu, that assignment that eat from their father's estate, that that's a gegandete estate, or it's something that doesn't really belong to him, let them go together with their father. So there was this idea amongst the Amoraim that even though from a halachic standpoint, Prius Malchav Mitzvah, Tzrariyat Vesach, Chayshin Elishayver, but at the end of the day, do we want these Yisoyimim growing up eating from something that doesn't really belong to them? That's not something we want. So to be mafkia that, that's what we're coming to be mafkia. To be mafkia that, Rava Paskin, and Ravashi Paskin, Nahardoi, they all Paskin that the halacha is like the hanacha of the sugya, which is that we don't take the money from the Yisoyimim, despite the fact that there was this thought out there, this concern amongst the Amoraim that maybe it's not so smart for the well-being of the Yisoyimim to not take the money. Weiter. Sagt die Mishnah, Hamakdish Nechassav. Vahoysa Olav. Ksubas Isha. If somebody is Makdish his Nechassim, and it sounds like he was Makdish all his Nechassim. Now, is it okay for a person to be Makdish all his Nechassim? So it's a Mishnah later in Daf Chav Chesam and Aleph. We're going to get into that in Mitzvah. But for now, Hamakdish Nechassav, Vahoysa Olav Ksubas Isha. And he was a married man, which meant that he had a Ksuba obligation. Now, right now, he's happily married. So despite the fact that there's a ksuba obligation, he doesn't have a chiyuv to give the ksuba to his wife right now, but it's looming, and at some point, if he divorces his wife, or if he dies, this gerusha or almana will be entitled to ksuba. Now, if someone's makdish his nechasim, and then he divorces his wife, this is very important just to understand the Mishnah. So that's pashit, that the wife can now go to hekdish, and the wife could say 200 zuz, or with all the tosfos ksuba, whatever she's entitled to. Why? Because the chi of ksuba predated the hekdesh. So it's as if she has a shibud on these nechasim, so that when the husband was makdish then, her right comes before the rights of hekdesh, and as a result, that this is something that she's going to be able to get. So says the Mishnah, a fascinating halacha. Somebody was makdish as nechasim, he had a ksuba zisha. Now he's sitting around this house, and he realizes he gave all his money away. Maybe this wasn't so smart. Right? So he's sitting around, and he's not sure what to do. So he has an idea. He says, you know what his idea is? Sits down with his wife, and he says, you know, this may not look good, but this is the plan. The plan is we're going to get divorced, and you're going to now be entitled to your ksuba. The ksuba's worth a few thousand dollars. You're going to go to Hektish, you're going to take the few thousand dollars, and then we're going to get married again. Kedas Moshe v'Yisrael. B'machse grushasim. And now we'll have the money, right? It seems like a decent way out. Says the Gemara, that Chachamim was smarter, and they said, that if you want to do this, you could divorce your wife, but at the same time, you're going to have to make a neder that says you'll never have anah from your wife, which in practical terms means you can't remarry her. And if you can't remarry her, so this is going to prevent this from happening. Amar Rabbi Shua, says, Einotzar. Rabbi Shua says, I disagree. We'll see what that means in the Gemara. Similarly, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said, Afa Orev, Leisha Biksubasa, Vayabaylo, Migarsha, Yadirenu Hano, Sheme Yasu Knunya, and Nachasim Shazev, Yachzer Zisha. There's another case. Husband and a wife, they're happily married. But like the Kesef Minula, they don't have money. And they're struggling very, very badly. So they got together and he said, I have a good chap. The chap is, he says, I owe you ksuba. It's a lot of money. Chavsh can't help. But, you know, I owe you ksuba. There's an Arif. Yankel co-signed the ksuba. So you know what we're going to do? I'm going to give you a get. This is a basic move. I'm going to give you a get. And we're going to collect, you're going to collect the ksuba. You're going to go to Yankel. Yankel's going to have to give you money. And then I'm going to remarry you. And we'll be able to live happily ever after. Zok the Mishnah, the same exact halacha. Rabbi Eliezer says, again, you want to do that? That's fine. You can divorce your wife, but you're going to have to make a neder that you can never have hana from your wife, which is going to prevent you from... Now, the truth is that if you really want to go down this road, you can make the neder, and then be matter the neder, right? Oh, so we'll see in the Gemara. Either way, since Machlekes is Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, if somebody wants to divorce his wife after he was makdish his nechasim, or... In the event that he has a orev that had co-signed the ksuba, collect his ksuba, remarry, is this okay? Rabbi says no. And the chachamim are going to intervene. We're going to impose a takana to make sure this doesn't happen. How are we going to do that? By forcing the husband to make a neder and have an avanah from his wife. Rabbi Yeshua said two words. Einoy tzarech. What's the machlokes? Rabbi Eliezer holds other meisik knuni al hekdesh. Rabbi Yeshua said, "Ain't other meisik knuni al hekdesh." Rabbi Eliezer holds other meisik knuni al hekdesh. Meaning, we're concerned that maybe someone will do something to connive against hekdesh, which is what this couple's doing. He was Makdish's Nechasim, and now he's trying to get the money out of Hekdish. So, are we concerned that a person will play these games with Hekdish? Okay, so the second case is with an Arit. But let's talk about the Reisha first. In the case of the Reisha, we're dealing with Hekdish. No one plays these games with Hekdish. That's what Rabbi Yeshua holds. But Rabbi Eliezer says, no. Adamaisik nun yale Hekdish. So Rabbi Eliezer is concerned about this. And being that he's concerned, the Chachamim had to intervene to make sure it doesn't happen. Rabbi Yeshua saw ein Adamaisik nun. Faitik Marvelo, Adam Ravuno, Shkim Rashik, Tishkon Lechasov, Shkim Rada was Makdish Oz Lechasin. So this is already a man that's dying. So he's on his deathbed. So he figures he's going to do something righteous before he dies. All his nechasim should be hektish. And then he says, "Mano l'plein biyadi." And then right after he says, "Oh, by the way, I owe Chaim Yankel $100. The loch is neman. He's believed. And even though hektish is going to lose that $100, because when he said pliny. Mano l'pliny biyadi, what he said was that he owed that person the money obviously before the hektish, which means that person can take hektish is going to lose $100. Another ma'isik nun yala hektish. We're not concerned that maybe he had some sort of remorse and he wants to get that $100 back. No, because a person doesn't make nun yala hektish. Now this is something that Rav Huna said in Amayra. Says the Gemara, Lemiketanoi, did Rav Huna's halacha of another ma'isik nun yala hektish, is it really dependent on this machlokes Tana, meaning it stems with Rabbi Yeshua, but it doesn't stem with Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara, like Adkan lepligi el bari. The machlis with Rabbi Yeshua is by a bari. Avod the shchivmer adivy akolei and the meizik nun al hektish. Rabbi Yehuda is about a shchivmer. He's talking about a dying man. You think a dying man? He has nothing better to do right before he dies to play games with hektish. Now vadana, my time because ain't adam chayta v'loy loy because he's not going to benefit from it anyway. So who's he saving the $100 for? For somebody else. Alzen nemar ein adam maybe for his family. So you see, ein adam chayta v'loy loy is true even for his yarsha. But either way, ein adam chayta v'loy loy, and as a result, there's no concern that this person is being oisak nunya. But in terms of a bariyak, isn't the mensch where he himself it will be the beneficiary of this kununya? So it could be over there. It's a machlokes. Meaning, Rav Huna said ein adam oisak nunya lehektish ledivrei hakoil. That's with a shchiv mera. But as it relates to a bari, it could be he agrees that really it's a machlokes. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua. But either way. So the first explanation of the machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua in our Mishnah, do we force the person to make this nether? Do we not force the person to make this nether? Rabbi Eliezer says we force him. Why? Rabbi Eliezer holds Adam Oisa Knunya Alehektish. Rabbi Yeshua says we don't force him because Rabbi Yeshua holds Ein Adam Oisa Knunya Alehektish. Ikid Armi, some say no. Bibari, the Kuliyam Aloy Pligi, the Adam Oisa Knunya Alehektish. That's the right case. Everybody agrees, really, Adam Oisa Knunya Alehektish. So what's then the Shiloh over here? If Adam Oisa Knunya Alehektish, who do we have to explain? Rabbi Yeshua. So why does Rabbi Yeshua hold that we don't force the person to make this nether? Why aren't you worried about the Knun? You b'hachav nether should the berabim come mifligi. The machlokes is something else. If somebody makes a nether berabim, could you be mefer or be matter that nether, or could you not be matter that nether? Mar savar yesh le hafara, umar savar ein le hafara. The machlokes is whether he could be matter this nether or not be matter this nether. Meaning, Rabbi Eliezer holds that we force him to make a nether in a way that he won't be able to be matter it. Because as we mentioned earlier, what's the point in making this person make the nether? I mean, to the extent that he's being oisa knunya ala hektish, he could be oisa knunya on the parish of Nadarim as well. So make the nether, and then it'll be matter the nether. Right? This is probably not such a hard nether to be matter. Because how you matter a nether? You have to tell the chacham that, you know, I didn't really mean it. I mean, this is not a nether that this person probably was forced into it. This is told you of Vizavin Zvine Zvine. This is Koifan Oisei Achiyoy Meroitzani, right? So if that's the case, chances are he doesn't really, it's not a very sincere nether. So it doesn't sound like such a hard nether to creep out of. So if that's the case, what does it help us to make this person make the nether? Can he get out of it? So the Gemara says, maybe that's good for the Machloikas. The Machloikas, is it possible to set a person up where he's going to make a nether, where it's going to be impossible for him to be matter the nether? The answer is, Rabbi Eliezer holds yes. How? You make a neder berabim. Rabbi Eliezer's shita is, neder berabim, the halach is you can't be matir. Okay, so it makes sense to do this. Force him to make a neder in a way we won't be able to be matir. Rabbi Shua holds that even a neder shahuda berabim is yesh lo hafar. As a result, it's pointless. So you know why Rabbi Shua holds in the Mishnah you don't impose this? Because there's no point in imposing it. It's simply going to be Yibayisema, a similar teretz. The kuli al menedah shudah berabim yesh lefar. Maybe really everybody holds menedah shudah berabim yesh lefar. Vachem menedah shudah al das rabim kamifli. The case where Rabbi Eliezer holds that it's possible to make a neder that won't be subject to hafara or to hatara, that would be in a case where you made the neder, but you said, I'm doing it al das rabim. I'm doing it as long as the rabim consents. There too, there's a discussion in the sugyas and Masechta Sadarim whether that type of neder is subject to hatar. Maybe that's the machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shua. But either way, says the Gemara, could be the machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shua. Here's the punchline: it's not adam oisak nunya or en adam oisak nunya. It could be everybody holds adam oisak nunya. Shchiv mera, no, en adam chayta v'loy loy. But a bari, a healthy person, adam oisak nunya. What then is the machlokes? Machlokes, is there any point in making this takana? Rabbi Shua says there's no point because you're going to force the person to make it. It'll be matin neder 5 minutes later. So what's the point? Rabbi Eliezer says, no, there is a point, because there are nedarim that you can't be matter. What's an example of a neder you can't be matter? Iba yisei maneder shehudah berabim, iba yisei maneder shehudah al das rabim. But the Gemara says, I have two problems with this. Velo hodom, I'm neymar neder shehudah berabim yeshel ha'faro, al das rabim mainly ha'faro. Amemar said that a neder, let's focus on the second half, of that a neder that was done al das rabim mainly ha'faro. Lefi Hanal, it's really a machloikis Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shua. It's only according to Rabbi Eliezer that this is true. But according to Rabbi Shua, there's no such thing as a neder that you can't be mefer. No such thing as a neder that you can't be matter. Because if there's a neder that you can't be matter, then Rabbi Shua would agree with Rabbi Eliezer's halach in the Mishnah. The whole premise of Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah is because there's no such thing as a neder, you can't be matter. Says the Gemara, Lemi Ketanoi, Amr L'Shmaite. Did Amemah mean it only according to Rabbi Eliezer, not according to Rabbi Shua? Vesu, Rabbi Shua me'in et tzarech. What did Rabbi Shua say in the Mishnah? You don't need. We don't need to. Tell this person to make this neder. In a mayomi bayali. In a tzarech sounds like he disagrees with the premise of Rabbi Eliezer. He agrees with the premise of Rabbi Eliezer. He just holds that there's no takana. There's no way to alleviate the concern. So the lashon, just in diktuk, should have not been in a tzarech, but rather in a mayomi bayali. It says the Gemara, Elo, hacha b'sheil de hektash komifluke. If you want that the machloikis, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, should not be other meisak knunya ala hektish or another meisak knunya ala hektish. I can tell you a different pshat on what the machlokes might be. What is that? Whether you can be shoyel on hektish or you cannot be shoyel on hektish, says the Gemara. Meaning, what does that mean? Rabbi Eliezer holds, as we'll see in a, let's see it inside. Vatani, we'll enter the price, makdish lechasav. If someone's makdish all is lechasav, v'hoysal of ksubas isha, and he had an outstanding ksubas isha pleasant, Rabbi Eliezer says, megarish either or not. When he divorces his wife, he should make a neder that he's never going to remarry her. That's Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah. Rabbi Shuai mein eitzah. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon, hein, divrei beis shamai, hein, divrei beis hillel, shevei shamai, yemin beis shamai, holes, hektish, toys, hektish, that if someone makes something hektish, and he does it with toss. There was an element of toss. It doesn't matter. Afal pikein, it's still going to be hektish. Ubeisil haimim hektish toys ain't a hektish. Beisil says that if somebody is makdish something with toys, it's not going to be hektish. What does hektish with toys have to do with this sugya? Says the Gemara, very gishmak. Beishamai sheet is that if someone makes something hektish, but even if there was an element of toys when you were makdish something, the hektish is still going to be chav. If that's the case, this is Nidorim Lomdus 101. The halacha has to be that if someone's makdish something and he tries to be shoyul on the hektish, and he tries to be shoyl on the hektish, there's no way for him to be shoyl on the hektish. Because if you would be shoyl on the hektish, what would you do? Just play it out. You would sit down in front of a chacham, and you would say, you know, I made something hektish. It was a mistake. Right? At the end of it, that's what you're going to say. It was a toys. I realized. I was angry. I was upset. You're going to come up with some alibi, some cover story for why you did something you didn't mean. Right? Usually, Dvarim Shabalei Veda and Dvarim. Ataris and Dvarim is a tremendous chiddush. There is a parish of Ataris and Dvarim, how it works in the Lumdus, the Taisus Rid. There's a lot of Lumdus, right? But the point is, it works. This is the punchline for our sugya, with the concept of you're establishing that the neder was made betos. So if you hold that if you make a neder betos, it's not a neder, there's a parasha of atar. But if you hold that even if you make a neder betos, it'd still be a neder, there is no parasha of Rabbi Eliezer holds hektish betos, havi hektish. You know who holds that bisham. Rabbi Eliezer holds like bisham. I mean that he holds like bisham, right? There's no way to be shoyl on hektish. Because what would you do if you were shoyl on hektish? You would try to establish tos. Hektish betoyis is anyways hektish. So there's no way to get out. Being that there's no way to get out, so Rabbi Eliezer says, what's a person going to do if he's makdish as nechasim and now he realizes, oops, that maybe wasn't so smart. He has no money now. So what's he supposed to do? He's going to look for etzes. So you know what the etzes might be? He'll divorce his wife, at least get the ksuba. He'll walk off with something. But Rabbi Yeshua holds, like Basil, that hektish betoyis lo yavi hektish, which means you could be shoyl on hektish. If you can be shoyl on hektish, if a person feels after he was makdish all his nechasim that he made a mistake, he doesn't have to divorce his wife, collect the ksuba, be machzeg rishasai, there's a much easier way out. Just be shoyl on the hektish and call it a day. So zok de gemara, the machlekes, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, according to the third version of what the beer and the machlekes might be, is the age-old machlekes between Beisham and Bezil, where the hektish, but I have the hektish, lo yavi hektish. As a derivative of that, we have a shayla, could I be shoyl? Can I be Mater Hekdesh or can I not be Mater Hekdesh? Rav Eliezer says he can't be Mater Hekdesh. Thus, we're concerned that the only eitzah this person's going to have is to do what the Mishnah suggested in Chav Gimel and Aleph. That's why we need to prevent it. So what we say is, Kashi Gashen, either Ana, Rabbi Yeshua says, Ein Eitzarech. You know, I'm not worried. Not in a mile. In a tzarech. Why am I not worried? Because if a person feels that he's in a little bit of a situation, there's a much simpler way out. The simpler way out is to go ahead and to be mocked. Either way. So we had a Mishnah. Where the Mishnah said somebody was knocked as nechasim and he realized afterwards that he has no money. And he has a little bit of a problem. So says Rabbi Eliezer, that in the event that this person is going to divorce his wife's going to collect the ksuba, you have to make sure that this wasn't a kanunya and this wasn't a setup. So, you want to remarry your wife? You can remarry. I mean, you could do it, but you can't have anah from her, which means you can't do it. Because share ksuba is fine, it's not possible. So, as a result, Rabbi Eliezer says, we need to do something to prevent this couple from conniving together against Hakdish. Rabbi Shua said, Einoi tzara. What's the hezber and the machloikis? So, really, what emerged was three things. Either you could say the machloikis is adam oisik nunya al hekdesh ein adam oisik nunya. Rabbi Lez is concerned that a person may do this to hekdesh. Rabbi Shua says, ein et tzarech, because he's so kedoshim heim, and they're never going to do this. That's one possibility. Another possibility is that Rabbi Yeshua holds that this is pointless anyways to force the man to make the nether, because anytime you make a nether, you can be matter the nether. Rabbi Eliezer holds a certain nedarim, you can't be matter. What type of nedarim? Then we'll give two examples. Either a nether shehuder bir rabbin, or a nether shehuder altas rabbin. Or you could say that really everybody holds adam oisa knunya ala hektish, and everybody holds the concept of a nether that you can't be matter. Still, the beer the machlekes is that maybe the reason Rabbi Shua is not worried is because Rabbi Shua holds that if you want to get out of a situation, there's a simpler way to get out. Just be matter the original hektish. Not be matter the nether that you're going to make towards your wife. Be matter the original hektish. Rabbi Eliezer holds that's not going to work, because Rabbi Eliezer holds like Beishamai hektish b'toyis havi hektish. So even if you try being matter it, what are you going to do? You're going to establish that it was done b'toyis. But Beishamai shita is hektish b'toyis havi hektish. And also machlikis Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yeshua is the machlikis Beishamai b'zil, whether hektish b'toyis havi hektish or hektish b'toyis loy havi hektish. So the Mishnah said this halacha in two instances. The first instance was somebody was machdish as nechasim, so he's going to divorce his wife to take the ksuba, at least, away from Hekdesh. The second case is where this couple is struggling and they're trying to figure out how to have money. Husband tells his wife, I'll give you a get. We'll collect the ksuba from the Arev, and then I'll remarry you. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said the same machloik as Rabbi Lezer Yeshua, as it relates to Hekdesh, we have with regards to Arev as well. Says the Gemara, Amaisa Shahaya, Kachoya, Moshe Bar Atzri, Arva de Kalsehava. So he co-signed his daughter-in-law's ksuba. So, man gets married, he obligates himself towards his wife with the chiyuve ksuba. But what happened was his father, seems like was a man of means, and he said that, told the daughter-in-law, I know you're worried, my husband, you're my son, your husband. So he says, I'll co-sign the ksuba. So that's what happens. So Moshe Bar Atzri co-signed the ksuba on behalf of his daughter-in-law, meaning he co-signed his son's obligation. Rav Huna Berei Tzumer Rabbanan. Now his son, his name was Rav Huna, he was a Tzumer Rabbanan, he was a Chashev Talmud Chacham, he also had no money. Amar Abaya said, and this couple was struggling mightily. So Abaya turns around and he says, like a denaspi eitzel Rav Huna deligash, how come nobody gave Rav Huna the most basic piece of advice? So you have a younger man, he's never struggling in yeshiva, he's trying to make ends meet, he has no money, and it's a horrible situation. So Abaya said, I have such an easy way out. Why doesn't he divorce his wife? Then he'll be able to go to his father and say, right, Dad, you co-signed my ksuba. He's going to have to give her now this large amount of money, and then he's going to remarry her. So Abaya commented, he said, Leka denazvi eitzel Rav Huna deligarish levisu vititba ksubasa me'avu v'lahadru mahadri? Amalei Rava. So Rava told her, right, there's Abaya, there's always Rava. So Rava told Abaya, v'anan yider hanotnan. What do you mean? The Mishnah says you can't do this. The Mishnah says you have to make a neder. Now the truth is, who said it in the Mishnah? Rabbi Eliezer said in the Mishnah. But the Mishnah said, v'anan yider hanotnan. You can't do this. The Abaya said, atu kolde mekarish bebeidina megarish. This is unbelievable. So Abaya said, I never said the Chacham should know about this. Don't do this, Barabbin. What, every time a person divorces his wife, he does it in a bezdin? Who said anybody has to know about this? So we're literally passing over raid
and raid and raid, but it is what it is. Zochti Gemara Lusayfik Gloy Milsa the Kayin Havet. Then they found out afterwards that this Ravuna was a Kayin. Amar Abaya Sabai. Well, if he's a Kayin, it's not going to work because then he can't be Machzik Rishasa. So he said Baser Anya Asla Anayusa. So this is the inverse of the rich get richer. He said Rachmana Litzlan. He says, I had he's struggling so mightily. I had such a good piece of advice, but it's not going to work. Why not? Because he's a Kayin. So obviously this doesn't work if you're a Kayin. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. But the one says, how could Abaye have said this? Abaye wanted to advise Rav Huna to do this, to literally take money away from the Arif. But I'm Rabbi. Abaye himself is the one that said the following. Ezeu Rosh Arum. What's the definition, the textbook definition of a clever, evil person? Zehamasi Eitz Alim Karben Achasim. Kareb Shem Ben Gamliel. This is someone who gives an idea to sell his nechassim in following the shita of Rav Shimon Gamliel. The case was where somebody gave his nechassim over to somebody and he told him that after you die, I want the nechassim to go over to somebody else. So the halacha is that technically this person could sell the nechassim, which means that the other guy will never see the nechassim. But he's not really supposed to do it. So Abaye said that if somebody gives someone the eitzah and he says, listen, you only have it temporarily, but if you sell the field, then you'll have the money and it's going to stay in your family. Might not be such a bad idea. If someone advises someone to do that, the halacha is he's a Rasha Arum. He's a bad person. Isn't Abaya guilty of what he himself said if someone does is a Rasha Arum? Incidentally, Tosfos in Masechta Soita, this is a Gemara that's mentioned in a few places. Tosfos in Soita Chafal Vambay says that notice, it's only the person that gives the advice. Zehamasi Eitza, he's the Rasha Arum. The person that actually sells it's not the Rasha Arum. It's the advisor. You know why? It's like we said earlier, Ein Adam Chayta V'Loi Loi. Why are you mishing Zecharayin in somebody else's business? You're going ahead and you're now telling this person how he could do something terrible. Bishlei Mehem, he's struggling. What do you want for Rav Huna? This person is looking out for his family. But you? You? Why? Why are you doing this? This is Ein Adam Chayta V'Loi Loi. But either way, so the Gemara's question is, how could Abaye have advised? Right, Abaye says, I can't believe no one gave Rav Huna this piece of advice. Right? I don't understand. He's surrounded by so many intelligent people. Nobody whispered this into his ear. Divorce your wife. Let her collect the ksuba from the Arif and have it. How could Abaye say that? Abaye holds this is a person that's a Rosh Arif. So the Gemara says, Breishani. Now this is different. You know why? Because he held that this was a case where who is the Arif? The father. Rav Huna's father was Moshe Bar Atzri. He's the one you were going. And Tzubim Rabbanan Shani. And not just that Rav Huna was a Talmud Chacham. Meaning, this Yid Moshe Bar Atzri is a great segvir. He has a son, Rav Huna, who's sitting and learning. And he's struggling. And it bothered Abaye. Abaye said, I don't say you have a son that's sitting and learning. And he's a chash of a Yid. And you're letting him struggle. You're watching him starve. How do you not look out for him? So over here, Abaye said that I'm going to figure out a way to take the money from the father and give it to the son. A random person, he would have never done it. But this is different, because this is a case where there's a father to a son, not just a father to a son. He has a son of Talmud Chacham, he has such naches. How do you not take care of him? And that's why Abaye felt that even though ordinarily I hold, but over here, you have a son of Talmud Chacham, we're going to figure out ways. You don't want to support him? We'll figure out ways to make sure you end up supporting him. Fascinating Gemara. But Freita Gemara, I'll ask you a different kasha. Is it so pashat that you could even be an Ariv on a ksuba? This is already a whole sugi in Shas. That there's a mandama that holds that Ariv the ksuba, so the Gemara says, Kablin, Bishleima, if you'll tell me that a Kablin, meaning an ordinary Arif, is different than a Kablin. So what's an Arif? An Arif is where somebody borrows money and the Malva tells the Leiva, listen, I want to make sure I need a backup plan. So in the event that you don't have the money, right, obviously the Leiva, he's coming to borrow the money, so chances are he's struggling, right, it's a good chance. So he says, what if you're not going to have the money when it comes time to pay up? So he says, no problem, I have a friend, an Arif, and he will guarantee, he'll co-sign the loan. So what's the halacha? The halacha is, when the malva comes to play to collect the loan, first he goes to the leiva. If the leiva doesn't have the money, then you go to the arev, right? There's a seder stating that there is an arev called an arev kablon. Arev kablon is what? Where the kablon, the arev, agrees that you can come to me before you even go to the leiva. It's a different type of arev. In Lumbus it works a little bit differently. But the point is that he's called a kablon because it's his ki'ilu kibel. It's as if he's mamish like the leiva. The loiva is the one that the malva goes to first because he's the one that was mekabel the money. This person is treated like a kablan. So the Gemara says, there is a mandama that holds that arev the ksuba lay mishtabit, but a kablan by a ksuba is mishtabit. So okay, so we could say that Moshe Bar Atzri, the father, the shver, in this case, wasn't an ordinary arev, he was an arev kablan.
The problem is that that's not so simple, because it's machlokes in the Gemara whether you can be an Arev or even a Kablan, even an Arev Kablan, in the event that the Loiva, at the time that he borrowed the money, had no money. There's a sad to say that the only time Arevos is Chal is if the Loiva had something at the time that he borrowed the money. But if the Loiva had nothing at the time that he borrowed this money, it could be the Arevos is Nachal, it could be the Kablonos is Nachal. The assumption is that this Yid, Rav Huna, the son, didn't have anything at the time that he borrowed the money. So the Gemara says, "Honi chalaman dama kablon avagaf the lesli nechassim loyva mishnah bishlam the man dama that holds that you could become a kablon even if the loyva has no nechassim." So you'll tell me he was a kablon, and even though Rav Huna probably had no nechassim, but it doesn't matter. You could be a kablon. El the man dama islay mishtabed lesli loy mishnah. But the man dama that says that if he has nechassim, it's mishtabed. If he doesn't have nechassim, not mishtabed. Ma'ikalameimar. So what's the kasha? The kasha is that in this case, where was the arvos? Arev diksuba, there is no such thing, according to Eman Damar. And in terms of Kablon, even Kablon only works if the Leiva had Nechassim. The Leiva seemed to not have Nechassim. So the Gemara says, you could say Tubshat. Maybe Rav Huna did have Nechassim at the time that he got married. Later he lost everything. But who said at the time he had nothing? Ordinarily, Arev is not Meshavin himself if the Leiva has no Nechassim. But a father to a son, that's already different. This goes into really the core of how you understand Kinyan Arev, but we don't have time for that. The Itmar, Arev Diksuba, everybody holds Arev Diksuba. Itself is not mishtabit. So classic Arev, says the Gemara, everybody holds his loy mishtabit. Kablin debal choyv, divri akal mishtabit. A classic choyv, not a ksuba, a classic choyv, where you take upon yourself to be an Arev, but an Arev kablin, everyone holds his mishtabit. Arev debal choyv, what about an Arev debal choyv? The kablin de ksuba, please. Ikil mandam islay nichsi loyva mishtabit, lesley loy mishtabit. It's a mandam that says that as long as it's the chasm, it's mishtabit. Ikil mandam, I forgot the lesley mishtabit. Even if he doesn't have the chasm, it's going to be mishtabit. Hilchasa, what's the bottom line? Bekulu, I forgot the lesley. Nami Mishtab. In all these cases, even if the Leiva had no Nechassim at the time it alone, the Halacha is the Arvus is Chal, Lebar Me Arev Diksuba, with the exception of Arev Diksuba, the Avagav the Islay Loi Mishtab. Arev Diksuba is Loi Mishtab. Sounds like from this Gemara, incidentally, that nobody holds Arev Diksuba is Mishtab. My time, what's the reason? Mitzvah Ka'ovid, V'loi Midi Chasra. So just one Svara is that because it sounds like from the Gemara that an Arev, we're always a little paranoid that maybe he doesn't mean it seriously, right? Usually if somebody buys something, somebody sells something, somebody makes a kinyan, we don't start thinking that maybe he doesn't really mean it. We assume, of course, he means it. But the Arev, why would he co-sign somebody else's loan? Like, what interest do you have in doing that? Like, what's the point? He's not getting any, there's no consideration that he's getting in return. In fact, the Rishonim struggle to understand, like, how's the kinyan even chal? Like, what are you getting to effectuate the kinyan? So you have to come up with some sort of svar. Over here, there's makom to say when you're dealing with a ksuba that really the person never meant it. If he didn't mean it, why do you sign up? Because he wants his couple to get married. Because he wants the couple to get married, right? Asakta b'piriyah v'rivya, like the Marsha says in the Gemara. That doing shidduchim, that's asakta b'piriyah v'rivya. He feels that I could play a role in a couple getting married and a bayis never be Yisrael. So he's very happy about that. So he says, oh, what's the issue? Oh, the issue is the ksuba. Oh, are you worried about the $50,000 ksuba? I'll co-sign. He never meant it. He just wanted the couple to get married. So if that's the case, there we're concerned. So when it comes to ksuba, arev the ksuba, loy mishtabit, even if the loy had money, my timer, mitzvah covered. In his mind, he's doing a mitzvah. I mean, it's not clear, is he really doing a mitzvah? If he's misleading the person? I'm not sure. But the point is, mitzvah ka'avid, v'lay midi chasa. Hu gavra, one final gemara, the zavninu l'nichse, v'kogarsha l'devisa. There was a person that sold his nechasim. He sold everything. He wasn't makdisha. He sold it. And then afterwards, he divorced his wife. Sholcha rab yoyse b'rei de rovel l'kami de rapapas. And now the wife went to the loikeyach and said, loikeyach, you bought my husband's nechasim? There was a lien, ksuba, I want the money out. So he said, the question was, could the husband now remarry his wife or not? So it's totally the machlekes, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua. The question was according to Rabbi Eliezer. Do we force the husband to make the neder or not? So this is very similar to the case, it's not the case in the Mishnah. The case of the Mishnah was where the wife collected the ksuba, A, from Hekdish, B, from the Arif. Here she's collecting it from the Loikeach. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yisipre, the Rava asked this question to Rapapa, and the question was this: Arev Tanan, Hekdish Tanan. Like, hey, Achmau, Amalei's Rapapa said, Tano ki ruchle nechshev enezel. What is the Tana a money changer? He's collecting, he's counting dollar bills, 100, 200, 300. Doesn't have to count. You get the point. If the halach is that we force the person to make this nether where she's collecting the ksuba from Hekdish, and if it's true by Arev, why shouldn't it be true by Nadoi Amri? No, the Tanan.
The loitnan, loitnan. No, the Mishnah said it by Hektish and Arif. The Mishnah didn't say it with regards to Lekech. Omar, Misha'arshi, my time in the Nardoi. What's the Mishnah in the Nardoi? Said, because Mishnah, Hektish, Mishnah, 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 Hektish, we look out for Hektish. You know when we're making this takana? Because we're looking out for Hektish. Obviously, we look out for Hektish. Arif, Nami, Mitzvah, David. The Lav Midichas, interesting. We look out for the Arif as well. Because the Arif did a mitzvah when he was an Arif. Elul Lekeach. Why would we look out for the Lekeach? Mechti. He knew he was buying it from a married man. He knew that every married man has a ksuba obligation. Am I nazal nizman? Why did he buy it? He assumed the risk. He can't come back to us crying now and say, what do you mean? I bought this from a married man. He decided to divorce his wife. Now the wife wants to take the ksuba. You knew what you were getting yourself into. And as a result, for Hektish and for an Ariv, we're going to make a takana. But for the Lekeach, there's no reason for us to make the takana exhale. So there's so much to talk about in today's daf, but just one ha'ara. And that is, so the Mishnah on the top of daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph mentioned the machloikis Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, and the Gemara gave three biurim in the machloikis Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. The third biur was that the machloikis Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua is really totally in a machloikis Beishamai and Beisilel, and that Rabbi Eliezer holds like Beishamai and Beisilel, and Rabbi Yeshua holds like Beisilel. So Rabbi Eliezer was going b'shitas b'shamay, which shitas b'shamay, hektish b'toyis avi hektish, and Rabbi Yeshua was going b'shitas b'silol, who holds hektish b'toyis loy havi hektish. So one ha'ara, but a little bit of an introduction. The Gemara in Masechtes Shabbos, Dav Kuf Lamed Amid Beis, is discussing the first halacha in Perek Rabbi Eliezer de Mila. So Perek Rabbi Eliezer de Mila discusses the halacha that Mila we know is Deicha Shabbos. And Mila Bizmani is Deicha Shabbos. Mila Shalei Bizmani is not Deicha Shabbos. But Mila Bizmani is Deicha Shabbos. The question is, what about Machshire Mila? So the actual Bris Mila, even though it involves Chilul Shabbos, is Deicha Shabbos. What happens if the Mayel shows up to the Bris and he realizes that he forgot the Chalif? He doesn't have the Messer that he needs to go ahead and do the Bris Mila. Or if the baby is in a Rishus HaRabim, where we need to bring the baby to the Mayel, and the only way to do the Bris Mila is going to be by carrying the knife, or by carrying the baby. So the question is, Mila's Deicha Shabbos, so even though carrying, Haitzah, is one of the Lamatas Malachas, but Mila's Deicha Shabbos, or maybe no, the Etzim Mila's Deicha Shabbos, but the Machshire Mila, the Hechshem, it's maybe not Deicha Shabbos. So that's the Machloik Israel. Rabbi Leza holds Machshire Mila's Deicha Shabbos, Machshirim of all mitzvahs are Deicha Shabbos. The Chacham hold the Machshire Mila is not Deicha Shabbos. The Gemara Masechtes Shabbos, Daf Kuf Lamed Amid Beis, tells the story. Pam Achas Shokchu V'lehi Viu Izemel. Once upon a time, there was a Bris Mila. It was taking place on Shabbos, and they realized they forgot to bring the Izemel. They Viu B'Shabbos, and they brought it on Shabbos. V'ya Adover Kosher L'Chacham. And the Chacham were very bothered by what happened. They felt it was Chilul Shabbos. Why were they so bothered? They said, Heich menichin divrei Chachamim v'oizim Rabbi Eliezer. How could they go like Rabbi Eliezer, who holds Machshir Yemil, Zdei Chashabbos, you can carry these emel, and not go like the Chachamim? Why is that so terrible if you go like Rabbi Eliezer, not the Chachamim? Two reasons. Chodo, the Rabbi Eliezer Shamutehu. Number one, because Rabbi Eliezer is Shamuteh. V'oid, Yochid v'Rabin, halacha k'rabin. And number two, Yochid v'Rab, halacha k'rabin. So number one, Rabbi Eliezer was Shamuteh. What does it mean, Shamuti? We don't paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. We never paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. And number two, Rabbi Eliezer was a Yochid Keneged the Chachamim. And Yochid v'Rabim, the Halacha is like the Chachamim. It's Mavur in this Gemara that Rabbi Eliezer was Shamuti, which means that in Halacha, as in Machshirei Mila, Deicha Shabbos or Loi Deicha Shabbos, Rabbi Eliezer is in the proverbial Cherim. We don't paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. We never, ever paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. And the truth is, at first glance, if you think about it, it's a Dov and Noira. This idea that we don't paskin like Rabbi Eliezer is an unbelievable Chiddush. You know why? Because who is Rabbi Eliezer? Now, incidentally, Rabbi Eliezer in Shas is known as Stam Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkinus is also Rabbi Eliezer. He's referred to as Rabbi Eliezer Haggadah. Pirkid Rabbi Eliezer is all of Rabbi Eliezer's teachings. But Rabbi Eliezer is Shamute in the sense that we don't pass on Rabbi Eliezer. So who was Rabbi Eliezer? The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Chamisha Talmidim Hoyloi, Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai. Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai had five Talmidim. The Elohein, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkinus, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, as in Stam Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yossi Akoyein, Rabbi Shimon ben Nesadol, incidentally, the Abarbanel in his Pirish on Pirkei Avos says that he thinks Rabbi Yossi Akoyein was Yosifun ben Gurion. But either way, Rabbi Shimon ben Asano, v'Rabbi Loza ben Aruch. So Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai had five Talmidim. And all the Mefarshim Mishnah say that Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai had more than five Talmidim. But these were his Talmidei Mufhakin. Chamisha Talmidim Hoy Loi, Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai. These were his Talmidim. The Chidah says, Hoyu Loi. These were the Talmidim that Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai had the most from.
These were the five Talmidim that were the Mitalmida Yosef Mikol. But the point is, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai has five Talmidim Muvakim, right? Rabbi Chaim Briska had Rabbi Baruch Ber and the Briska Rav, and Rabbi Shimon Shkab, and Rabbi Chatzkel Abramsky. This is Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkinis, Rabbi Shimon ben Hananya, and Rabbi Yosef Kohen, Rabbi Shimon ben Asano, Rabbi Lazar ben Aroch. Says the Gemara, who are you? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai used to say, you call Chachmi Yisrael be Kaf Mazayim. If you would take all the Chachmi Yisrael, you'd put them on a Kaf Mazayim. You'd put them on one side of a scale. V'Eliezer ben Hurkinis be Kaf Shniyo, and you would put Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkinis on the other side, Machriyas Kulan. So how great was Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkinis? If you would take all the Chacham and put them on one side, and you would take the Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkinis and put him on the other side, he was Machriyas Kulan. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkinis was greater than all the Chachamim combined. Abishol used to say, had a different Gersa. He said, no, you call Chachmi Yisrael b'kaf mezayin. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkinis, if you would take all the Chachmi Yisrael, included in which would be Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkinis, and you'd put Rabbi Eliezer ben Aruch on the other side, Machriyas Kulan. Rabbi Chaim Volozhina in Ruach Chaim, and I saw this in the Ramshik's Pirish on Pirkei Avos as well, but Rabbi Chaim Volozhina in Ruach Chaim says that what was this machloikis between the Tanakam and Abishol? Tanakam held that Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkinis would be Machriyas Akaf. Abishol said no, that you could even put Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkinis with all the Chachamim, Rabbi Eliezer ben Aruch would be Machriya everybody. So we have a machloikis. Is Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkinis greater than everybody, or is Rabbi Eliezer ben Aruch greater than everybody? So he says beautiful. He says that the Mishnah says, Hu hayamayna shvacham. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai used to list the shvachim of his Talmidim. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkinis is a bar sid she'ein ma'apetipa. He was like a pit that doesn't lose anything. He absorbs everything. He never forgets everything. Rabbi Eliezer ben Aruch, I'm skipping, was kamayin ha-mizgaber. He's like a raging sea. He's a mayin ha-mizgaber. In other words, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkinis was a Sinai. He's a bar sid she'ein ma'apetipa. He doesn't forget anything. He's a bucky. He knows everything. Rabbi Eliezer ben Aruch is a mayin ha-mizgaber, right? That's literally a synonym for an oikaharim, for a London. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkinis was a Sinai. Rabbi Eliezer ben Aruch was an oikaharim. The machloikas, the Tanakam and Abishol in the Mishnah is Sinai Yadiv or oikaharim Yadiv. Tanakam said, you call Chachmi Yisrael b'kaf maznai, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkinis b'kaf shni machri eskula, and he held Sinai Yadiv. So Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkinis is a barista chain of an apetipa. He's the one. Whereas Rabbi Shol holds that the oikaharim is Adif, and Rabbi Eliezer ben Aruch is the oikaharim. He's the Mayan Amaskaber. Therefore, he says, if you call Chachmi Yisrael b'kaf maznai, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkinis afi iman, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkinis afi iman, machri eskula. If that's the case, who do we paskin like? The Tanakama or Abishol in this Mishnah? We know the Gemara in the end of Hayris. The Gemara says, Sinai Yadiv. If that's the case, the Halacha is like the Tanakama in this Mishnah. It's not like Abishol. So who is Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkinis? Right? Who is Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkinis? He's the greatest Tana. Not only is he the greatest Tana, if you call Chachmi Yisrael, if all the Chachmi Yisrael would be on one hand, and Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkinis would be on the other hand, he's greater than all the Chachamim combined. Stating that, Rabbi Eliezer Shamuti. The Gemara says it was a Maisa with a Paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, the greatest Tana alive, and they were so disturbed. How could you Paskin Rabbi Eliezer? He's a Yochid Kenegdra. But besides Rabbi Eliezer Shamuti, how in the world could you Paskin Rabbi Eliezer? So Rashi, of course, asks the Kasha in Shabbos, Tafkuf Lamed Amud Beis, and he brings B'Shem Di Rishalmi that the reason the Gemara was so bothered by the fact that the Chachamim went like Rebbe Eliezer is because Rebbe Eliezer, I quote, Mi Talmide Shammai Hoya. He was from the Talmidim of Shammai. And we know that Beshammai, B'mokim Beisil in a Mishnah. We pass like Beshammai, Beisil, we don't pass like Beshammai. And that's why Tosfos brings B'Shem Rabbeinu Tam as well. That the reason the Gemara felt you can't go like Rebbe Eliezer, even though he's so great, is because at the end of the day, he's Mi Talmide Beshammai. And if he's Mi Talmide Beshammai, you can't go ahead now and paskin like Mi Talmide Beshammai. Incidentally, we all know the Gemara Masechtas Brachas, where the Gemara says that after Rabbi Gamliel in Yavna embarrassed, so to speak, Rabbi Yeshua and the Chachamim felt that it's not befitting anymore for Rabbi Gamliel to be the Nasi. So they removed him from his Nasius and they had to appoint another Nasi. And the question was, who should the next Nasi be? So they said, maybe it should be Rabbi Yeshua, but it's not appropriate. Rabbi Yeshua is the reason Rabbi Gamliel is not the Nasi. We're going to make Rabbi Yeshua the Nasi. He said, Rabbi Akiva, the great Rabbi, who's greater than Rabbi Akiva? Nun Sharibina, it should be Rabbi Akiva. The problem is, Rabbi Akiva had no yichus. I mean that he had no yichus, they felt he's not the person that should do it. So they said, okay, Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah. The problem is he was too young. Hashem made a miracle. Harei anikivem shivim shana. He ended up looking like a zaken. Frek, the Rabbeinu Chananel on the side of the Gemara. If you would ask me, I would have voted for Rabbi Eliezer. Who's missing in that story? Rabbi Eliezer. Incidentally, Rabbi Akiva was much younger than Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Akiva is a Talmud of Rabbi Eliezer. So you're damning the Talmud and you're not looking at the... How could Rabbi Eliezer have not been... So it says Rabbeinu Chananel, you know why he wasn't? Because he was very old at the time. And he was so old, they felt he was too old to be fit to be the Nasi. But the Seyd Adar springs from the Sefer Yochsen, who said he was too old
Why do you have to? Who said too old is a problem? That's not the reason. He was mitamidei beis shammai. You can appoint a nasi mitamidei beis shammai. Either way, Rabbi Eliezer is mitamidei beis shammai. So coming full circle to our Gemara, it's very gishmak. Rabbi Eliezer holds like beis shammai. Rabbi Yeshua holds like beis shammai. Rabbi Eliezer holds like, who holds like beis shammai? Rabbi Eliezer does. You know why? Because Rabbi Eliezer was mitamidei beis shammai, and Yosi was mitamidei beis shammai. That's it. Always bothered me, incidentally, that how could it be that Rabbi Eliezer? How could it be that Rabbi Eliezer was tamidei beis shammai? We just learned the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that Rabbi Eliezer was a Talmid of Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. He's one of his five Talmidim of Hakim. Who is Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai's Rebbe? So that's another very, very well-known Gemara. The Gemara is in the Masechta Sukkot of Chav Chesam and Aleph. It's also the Gemara in the end of Bava Basra, where the Gemara says that Hillel HaZaken had 80 Talmidim, Shmeinu Talmidim, Hayu Leil Hillel HaZaken, Shloisha Mehem Ruvim Shetisho Lehem Shechina Kamaish Rabbein, Shloisha Mehem Ruvim Shetamalim Chama Kishu Benut, Esrim Beinanim, Gadol Shebekul, who is the greatest of Hillel HaZaken's Talmidim? Yenus of Enazil. Who was the Katan Shebekulan? It was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And then the Gemara goes on and tells us about the greatness of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was a Talmud of who? He was a Talmud of Hillel HaZaken. So isn't that interesting that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is a Talmud Muvik of Hillel HaZaken? He's the Katan Shebekula. And Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkin is a Talmud Muvik of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Chamish Talmud of Hoyle. And Rabbi Eliezer is Mitalmud Beis Shammai. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is Mitalmud Beis Hillel. Okay, no, but for sure. But I realized yesterday, as I was going through these Mishnayos, that maybe it's a tais. Because Perik Beis Mishnah Tess and Perkei Yavis. Rabbi Yechonim and Zakkai Kibel Mehillel U'Mishamai. Who are you? Rabbi Yechonim and Zakkai also had two Rabbeim. One Rabbi was Hillel, and the other Rabbi was Shammai. Before it's a Mishnah. Rabbi Yechonim and Zakkai Kibel Mehillel U'Mishamai. I looked up to say that Doris, Rabbi Yechonim and Zakkai, he was a Talmud of Hillel, he was a Talmud of Shammai. It's before. So Rabbi Yechonim and Zakkai himself was also a Talmud of Shammai. He's not Beis Shammai, of course. And there's no halacha. Rabbi Yechonim and Zakkai is Shamutei in halacha. But as it relates to Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer is Shamutei. But I'll just tell you one ha'ara, we'll end with this. And that is Gemara Masechtas Chagiga, Daf Chof Beis Amid Beis. It's a very, very complex Gemara. Super complex. It's a sugya in Masechtas Aholis. But within that sugya of Masechtas Aholis, the Gemara tells a story. Amar Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua heard Beis Shammai's halacha in Aholis. And he said, Boishni mi devreichem Beis Shammai. He said, Beis Shammai, I'm embarrassed from what you said. Very shaf. He said, I'm poshin embarrassed. Shemzach fin azach chiddush. It's a very obscure halacha. But whatever the halacha was, he said, Boishni mi devreichem Beis Shammai. And his question was, Efsha Isha Losha Vareva, Isha Vareva Tmeim Shivu Botlik Tar. He asked a bunch of Kazot Gemara, Nitpalei Talmud Echad Beis Shammai. There was a Talmud Beis Shammai who said, Omar Loi, turn to Rabbi Yeshua. He was a Talmud, he was a young person. Rabbi Yeshua is the great Rabbi Yeshua. He says, Omar Loi, Tamim Shal Beis Shammai, would you like me to explain Beis Shammai? Omar Loi Amar, yeah, explain it to me. Omar Loi, and he told him a whole Kal V'Chaymer with a oneness, and he explained to him what Shitas Beis Shammai was. Says the Gemara, after Rabbi Yeshua heard what Beis Shammai said, he said, Zo Tamim Shal Beis Shammai, wow. Miyad Holach Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua went, V'nishtatach HaKivrei Beis Shammai. And he went, and he literally went to the caver of Beis Shammai, whatever that means. Omar, he said, Nanesi lochem atzmeis Beis Shammai. He said, I spoke inappropriately against you. And he said the following, Umastumay sholochem kach, madach, when you say something that really at first glance doesn't seem to make sense. There's so much chachma and bina and das behind what you're saying. He said, mefurasha is the things that you say that are mefurish, alach is kama v'kama. And he said that something that's mefurish for sure. He said, it must be, I misunderstood you, Beis Shammai, all these years. I can't believe it. Zokti Gemara Amru, kol yom of hushchur rishina mitneitani yosef. That Rabbi Shua did tshuva for the way he spoke about Beis Shammai and his teeth turned black because of all the taneisim that he fasted. The Ravyon Tshuva says that, you know what my takeaway from this Gemara is? That even though Rabbi Yeshua spent his whole life as the Baal Plukta of Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Eliezer we know was Mitalmidei Beis Shammai, and Rabbi Yeshua seems to personify Beis Hillel, but after this Maisa, he came around. Because what did he say? Umastumay shalachem kach, b'furasha esalachas kama v'kama, and soif yomav, Rabbi Yeshua crossed over to Beis Shammai, and he too became Mitalmidei Beis Shammai. Hafla v'fela, it's a Ravyon. The Ravyon at Tshuva says that Rabbi Yeshua came around and he joined Beis Shammai. So even though, Mashon Ar Sogya, Rabbi Eliezer is Beis Shammai, and Rabbi Yeshua is Beis Hillel, but there's a before and after in Rabbi Yeshua. There's the before Chagiga Daf Chav Beis, where Rabbi Yeshua is Mitalmidei Beis Hillel, and then there's after Chagiga Daf Chav Beis, where Rabbi Yeshua becomes Mitalmidei Beis Shammai. So just like we spoke about the before and after, Rabbi Shimon Vayichai, right, there's Rabbi Shimon before the Ma'ariv, there's Rabbi Shimon after the Ma'ariv, we have Rabbi Yeshua far Chagiga Daf Chav Beis, and we have Rabbi Yeshua not Chagiga Daf Chav Beis. But it's fascinating, because we always think of Beis Shammai, that
sort of outcasts. They're doing their own thing, living in their own shtetl. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rashi says in Perek HaMafkid, Rabbi Akiva was mitamid Beis Shammai. Tosha says, how can you say Rabbi Akiva was mitamid Beis Shammai? It's a Rashi. It's a Rashi in Bava Metzia, tucked away in Perek HaMafkid. You know, a very yeshivish Perek. But that's what Rashi says. The Gemara says in the end of the first Perek of Masechtas, Yuval Mr. Rabbi Tarfin was mitamid Beis Shammai. So Tamid Beis Shammai, the Shita Beis Shammai had permeated, it had influenced the mainstream amongst the Yidden. You had some of the Gedoyli Atanam, now with Tamid Beis Shammai, but coming full circle to our Gemara, we have a Machloikis, Rabbi Lez, Rabbi Yeshua, we have a Machloikis, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, Rabbi Eliezer's Beis Shammai, Rabbi Yeshua's Beis Hillel. Beautiful. It's Masik Midvash. It's Rabbi Eliezer L'shitasoi, and it's Rabbi Yeshua L'shitasoi.